We are going to learn Daf Ayin Zayin in Masechtos Ksubos, the last Daf in Perek Hamadir. We're going to start from the Mishnah, which is on the third line from the top. The Mishnah says as follows: Ha'ish shenoldu boy mumin. If we'll see when exactly this happened, but if you have a man that he then has a mum, and the mum is decapitating in a sense that he is not able to continue the marriage. We'll see what this means exactly. Just because he got a mum, we don't necessarily force him to get divorced. That's the Tanna Kamma Shita. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel argues and he says, no. When do we say that it has no impact on the marriage, but mumin katanim? If it's only a little mum, but if it's a big mum, then we do force the husband to get divorced. Okay, so we're going to have to define, obviously, in the Gemara, what big and what little is. Okay? Fine. So then, it just happened, just so that you know, when we force them to get divorced, there's a machlekes rishonim over here, whether or not he has to give the ksuba. Because it's interesting. In this Mishnah in particular, it doesn't discuss whether or not you have to give the ksuba. Usually when the Mishnah says, koifen oisav yitin ksuba, or koifen oisav lo yitin ksuba, whatever it is, that is, whether it's chayiv. Here it just says that we force or we don't force. On the side, let's say Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we would force him to get divorced. The question is, and what? And is it considered his fault or her fault? Do we have to give the ksuba or not? Okay? So, the re holds, this is right over here on the side, says that even though we're going to force the divorce, we're not going to force him to pay the ksuba. As we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, so I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we'll see in a moment, this is talking about where she wants to end the marriage because she can't handle the woman. So that's why, that's the Rishita over here. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So now, of course, like every other Gemara, we have to clarify the Mishnah. Just to clarify, the Ri says actually you do give a ksuba. The Rabbi Natam is the one who says that you don't have to give the ksuba. But over here, the Ri on the side of that's right over here in this Gemara, Taisa says that you do, even though he's being forced to give the get, he will actually still have to pay the ksuba. Okay, that's the Rishita. But there are other Rishana that argue on that. Okay. Zok the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Tani Noldu. Rabbi Yehuda learns the Girsa in our Mishnah is, like we have, that they Noldu means it became born, it became afterwards, which means we understand it that it happened after they were married. Chi Barav Tanu Hoyu. He has a different Girsa in our Mishnah, and he has the Girsa that he had these Mumin all along. Okay. So Mandi Amar Noldu, if you learn the Girsa of our Mishnah was that these Mumin came after the fact, Kol Shekein Hoyu. So then for sure, this is going in the Tanna Kamma Shita, which is that you don't force the guy to get divorced. So Kol Shekein Hoyu, then certainly if the Mumin were there all along, the Kasavar Vikibla, because she knew about it, she knew that this existed, and she accepted the fact that he has the Mumin. And therefore, for sure, you're not going to be obligated to get divorced. However, Manda Omar Hoyu, if your Girsa in the Mishnah originally is that the Mumin were there all along, and that's why we don't force the divorce, Aval Noldu Loi, but if the Mum only appeared later in the marriage, then even the Tanna Kamma would not agree with the statement that the Tanna Kamma made, which is that they're not forced to get divorced. Because she knew about it all along. But if this becomes a new development, so even the Tanna Kamma Shita would be, according to this Girsa of the Mishnah, would be that she has a right to demand that they get divorced. Okay, that is in the Shita of the Tanna Kamma. Now, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, "B'med var mamurim." This is our Mishnah. B'mum v'katanim. That we're talking about where it's a little mum. That they don't have to get divorced. And it says, but if we're dealing with the bigger moment, then we do force them to get divorced. Now, let's go back into the Girsa that we just discussed over here, because whatever Rav Shimon Gamliel is reacting to the Tanna Kamma Shita. So we have to know what the Tanna Kamma was talking about, because that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking about. So Bishlam of the Mandi Amar Noldu, if we're talking about again that it only developed after the fact, then we can understand that there's a difference between a big mum and a little mum. right? Because the right, because you could say that if it's only a little thing, that even though it happened later, but you know, if it's a big deal, so that changes everything, right? Because our suffer of a kibla, sorry. I skipped the line. Shana ben gadol l'katan. That's what we can understand the difference between the big and the little. El l'man di'omar hoyu. But according to the man di'omar that says that the mum was there, pre-existed their marriage, mali gadol l'mal di'katan. Hasavar v'kiblo. She knew about it. So whether he was missing a finger or missing a whole arm, the point is that she went into the marriage knowing that he had this problem. So what difference does it make how big the problem is? That's what she got married to. So the Gemara answers, yeah, there is a difference. The difference is that she thought, yes, it's true she went into the marriage with her eyes open and she knew about this and she thought she'd be able to handle it. But now, as it turns out, that she's not really able to handle it. So if it's a little thing, she doesn't really have an excuse, I'm not able to handle it. Because it's not such a big deal. Now, of course, we're in a moment going to define what big and little is. But when it's a little thing, she can't say, "Oh, I can't handle it." It's not such a big deal. You knew about it. When it is a big thing, it makes a big difference. It makes a big impact on the person's life. And then she's able to say, "I didn't realize how much this impacts our marriage, how much this impacts my life." So she is able to turn around now again, if it's gedolim, if it's a big thing, and say that I can't handle it anymore. But now we have to understand what big and what little is. Okay? Because this idea that everything changes or everything hinges on whether it's big or little, at least according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, so we have to understand what is considered massive and what's considered insignificant. The Elu Hain Mum Gedoilim, what is considered a large, big mum? Pirish Rav Shimon Gamliel, so Rav Shimon Gamliel himself says, Kegoin Nismas Einoi, he is blinded in one of his eyes. Nokta yadoi, that he is missing one of his arms. Vinishbara ragloi, and he is, or Vinishbara ragloi, and he's missed, and his foot is broken. So, the pashtus when you read this is you could read this as three different examples that the Gemara is giving. However, there are Rishonim, the Shita Mekubetzes brings Rishonim that says Anachanami. It's talking about when all of these things happen. Okay, so therefore, right, because otherwise the thing is, what was bothering me, for example, was the guy breaks his leg, so that's it, that's the end of the marriage, because he has a broken leg. So even if it's, yeah, okay, but it's a broken leg. So it's literally translating the Gemara. So I I don't want to get too far beyond what we're talking about over here, but according to the Shita Mekubetzes that we're talking about, if he's blind and he broke his leg, now we're talking about where the guy just can't function anymore. Not all Rishonim learn like that. The Rosh disagrees and says, Anachanami, the Rosh has a different point in this Gemara. So he does learn it that it is literally each one is separate. But he says, interestingly, that this is talking about the type of things there where, because you have two hands, so the Mishnah or Rav Shimon Gamliel is giving an example where the person is missing one of the two hands. But let's say you only have one of something. Let's say, I don't know, the easiest example is you have one nose. So you're missing your one nose, so then that's for sure considered, even if it's little, it's considered a mum gadol. You have to understand that's exactly, so right, the Tanakhama would agree that, exactly, according to the Rosh's Pshat, the Tanakhama would agree that if both hands are missing, or both legs are missing, then the guy becomes a completely different type of person. He's not able to, theoretically, we would assume, although obviously there are exceptions to the rule, but we would assume that the husband is no longer able to take care of his wife, and if he's not able to take care of his wife, whether it's financially, physically, whatever it is, he can't take care of her anymore. So that is why she's able to say, I can't be in this marriage, because the whole circumstances, the whole situation changed. Okay, so that's that part of the Gemara. Zok to Gemara Vayter, Itmar. Rav Abba Bar Yaakov Omer Rav Yochanan. So Rav Abba Bar Yaakov quotes Rav Yochanan and he says, Halachik Rav Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like this Rav Shimon Gamliel that it makes a difference whether it's big or little. Rava Omer Rav Nachman Halachik Divrei Chachomin. No, he paskin like Rav Nachman that follows Rav Chachomin Shita, which is, nope, too bad. If this, it doesn't make a difference, big or little, except, you know, with the exceptions that we just mentioned before, but otherwise, generally, doesn't make a difference. She can't end the marriage because of that. So, the Gemara says, Amir Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi de Rabbi Yochanan, say that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here. Amir Rabbi Yochanan, he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, B'chom Mokum Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over Mishnah, Seinu, Halacha Kamoisoy. We always paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Chus, with three exceptions, but we always pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So why would I make a point of saying that we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel in this Mishnah? We always pass like him. We don't need a specific statement over here. What are the exceptions? We don't pass like Rav Shimon, but Chutz me'arev tzvitzidoin v'raya achroino. I'll explain what those are in a second. Those three cases, those three exceptions to the rule. So we see that. Why did he have to say specifically in the Mishnah? The Gemara answers simply, Amaroi Ninova Aliba the Rabbi Yochanan. It's two Amaroi according to Rabbi Yochanan. Whether as we always paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, or there are some times when we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore we have to point out that this would be one of those times that we hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But let's go back according to Rabbi Yochanan that says that we always paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel with three exceptions. What are the three exceptions? The three exceptions are Orev. This is a very classic question. When somebody co-signs on a loan and guarantees a loan, do you have to go after the original borrower, or can you go after the arev? Can you go after the co-signer? Right? That's one machlekes. But Sidon is the story in Sidon. Tito in the case is the machlekes lechavim. If the guy says, I'll give you the get, I'll manas that you give me a particular item. And then he lost. And then that item got lost. He says, I'll give you a get. The get is on condition that you give me a fur coat. And then he lost the fur coat. So the question is, can I give you the value of the fur coat or not? So that's a machlokes Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. And Veraya Achroino is also a machlokes Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. If after Bezdin paskind a certain halacha, and then the person says, no, wait, before you carry out the law, before you carry out your ruling, I have Edim. Give me a chance to bring Edim. So it's a machlekes whether or not we give him that second chance, so to speak. Do we give an appeal? Do we give a chance of appeal if the person says I have different new evidence that was not introduced in the initial halacha? So those are three places where we do not paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel, but otherwise we generally do. Again, according to this Amora, apparently there's another Amora that says no, not necessarily. We don't necessarily paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel, except where we specifically say so. Okay, that takes us to the next Mishnah. Zuck the next Mishnah. That's fine. No, you can ask. The Elu Shekhoifin Oisei Lohoitzi. The following marital situations where we force the husband to get the divorce, to end the marriage because of the situation. Mukashchin is somebody who is, well, we'll see exactly what it is, but it's the type of person who has blisters, let's say, whoever, you know, all over their body, and they're not very healthy. About Polypus is somebody, well, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what each one of these issues are. The Mekametz, Vametzaref, Nechoshes, and somebody who deals with iron, which is a very smelly job. The Habursi is a tanner. So all of these are jobs where it's difficult to live with them. So we have a right that the wife can insist that we force the husband to get divorced. Ben Shahayu Ad Shalai Nisu. And in this case, the Mishnah says explicitly, whether that was his profession even before they got married, or Ben Mishanisu, Nolduan, or the issue developed after, or he took on a new job after they get married. Either way, the wife can say, I can't live like this. Va'al kulan omer Reb Meir, and on all of these examples, all of these issues, Reb Meir says, Avabisha hisna ima, even if he made this condition that he was going to do this, and this is what he was going to be during the marriage, yicholahisha to omar, on this, right, so here it's very clear that the Mishnah says she's able to say later during the marriage, Savura hayisi shani yicholah lekabel, I thought I'd be able to accept it, I thought I'd be able to live with this, va'achshaveni yicholah lekabel, and now I realize that this is too much for me, I can't handle it. That is Reb Meir Shita. The Chachamim Oimrim and the Chachamim say, Mikabel Asi Al Korcho, she has to accept those situations. If she accepted it, if she already agreed to live with this issue, she can't use that as an excuse to get out of the marriage. with one exception, chutz mi muka shchin, except for the situation where he has the disease of muka shchin, because that basically the idea is that living with her with a wife makes him fall apart. It damages him more. So therefore, she has the right to insist, and he can't say, "Well, no, we're not going to listen to you," because it's harmful, it's detrimental to him to stay in this marriage. Maisa b'tzidoin, and in fact, there's a story b'tzidoin b'borsi echod that he was a tanner shemais that the husband died v'hayu loy ach borsi, and he had a brother who was exactly the same in the same profession, and so obviously this was a yibum situation. Amru chacham, the chacham say yichayli hishet amar, the wife can say la achicha yisi yichayli l'kabel, when it was with your brother that I was willing to live with, v'lachayni yichayli l'kabel, but with you that's not something I am interested in. So we know that, you know, marriage is not just a general man and girl. It's very specific. They have to be, you know, the bashert. They have to be right for each other. So she's able to say, and I could use the same profession and the same issues that exist with one brother and the other brother, I could use it against the other brother. With him, with my original husband, I'm able to say that with him I was able to handle the downside. With you I'm not able to, and the Chacham say that's a valid taina. Okay, so we listed a few different types of diseases. So let's go through each one. My Baal Polypus. What is this disease of Polypus? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Reach HaChoytim, his nose smells. But Ma'as Nisantan Reach HaPeh, that's something that we're more familiar with, that his breath smells. So imagine living and trying to talk to somebody and you're, you know, that you can't stand their breath. Ravasi Masni Ipchai says just the opposite. That, in other words, Shmuel is the one who said that was Reach HaPeh. Okay. Umanach Basimono, and he gave a simon, so you should remember who said what, who's the Tana, who's the Amoira that's, actually it's the Tana, who said what? He said, Shmuel, loy posik pume mikule pirkin. Shmuel never stopped learning, there was never something that didn't, Torah that didn't come out of his mouth. So we see that we're talking about Torah, his mouth, so therefore you'll remember his mouth was constantly learning Torah, so you'll remember that he's the one who has the issue with Reach HaPeh. Okay, next case, Vamekamates, somebody who gathers. My Mekamates, what is the disease or what is the issue with Mekamates? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Zeh, Mekamates Tzoyas Klovim. That he gathers the dung of dogs. That's what he does for a living. So Rashi is a little bit confused, why would anybody want to do this? But apparently, even Rashi says, he heard that there are some places that they use it as a cleansing ingredient, that it is part of the cleaning process. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Anyway, so that's his profession. So this is something that she says she can't handle. But Meisve, now, we're just going to deal with... However, Meisve, Mekamets Zeborsi. We have a different shot from a Braisa that says Mekamets is the profession of a tanner. Fine, so it's a contradiction. But actually, if that's true, that it means a tanner, the Mishnah itself is a contradiction, because it says, Hamakamets, Vahamitzarif, Nechoshes. So you have a Makamets with copper, Vahaborsi, and a tanner. So, Bishlam of the Masnisin, Loikasha. So the Mishnah itself, you can answer, is not a contradiction itself, Kampa Borsi Godel, Kampa Borsi Kotel. You could talk about somebody who deals with a lot of it, or deals with a little bit of it. So, you know, you could say that there are two levels of profession. You know, there's the mom and pop shop, and then there's the official brand. El Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that we're talking about a borsi, somebody who does tannery. So, what difference does it make? Why would, you know, it's either big or little? That's the profession. So the Gemara answers Tanoi. It's a machlekas Tanoi. What it means? The Tanya Mekamed Zeborsi and a Hanami. So you're right. Our Mishnah obviously is going according to the Mandi Yomer. That means you collect the dung. So therefore, you can't. Borsi is a separate profession. However, there is a Mishnah. There's a Brisa at least that says Mekamed Zeborsi. One Mandi Yomer says that it is a tanner. V'yesh Yomer Zeh Mekamed Soyes Kolovim. That it means gathering the dog dung. Okay, so it's a machlekas. And machlekas Tanoim. What the issue with the Mekamets is, obviously you can make the argument that if you hold that one is an issue, the other profession may or may not be an issue. Or are they both? whatever. Okay, continuing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "I'm a tzarif lechoshes barbursi, somebody who gathers, who does, works with copper or tan or works with skins. My mitzarif nechoshes. What does it mean that he gathers nechoshes? So Rav Ashi Yomar choshli dudi, that he forms the pots, that he is the one who melts down the pots and puts them together. He shapes the pots again, but his hands are very much in the copper, and it's a smelly profession that gets all over him. And there are those that actually learn that it makes his entire body smell. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Zeh Hamechatech Nechoshes Meikaroi, that he is the one who he works in the mines, that he works with ore. He actually gathers the ore directly out of the mines, which again also is an unhealthy business. And you can understand why you could say, you know, I don't want a husband who does this. Okay. Tani Kavasi de Rabba Bar Bar Chana. I have a brisa that holds like this. Ezu Mitzaref. What does the Mitzaref mean? Hamechatech Nechoshes Meikaroi is the one who cuts out the ore from its source, which is like mining. This is an old Gemara like we saw once before. Somebody who says that a husband says to his wife, I am not giving you support and I'm not giving you clothing, I'm not taking care of you. So the halacha is Yosef eating ksuba, so that he has to give a ksuba. Now, so this is a different example. Right, till now we've been talking about diseases. Now he's talking about the relationship itself, where the husband says, I'm not taking care of you. So Rabbi Elazar went and repeated this Shmaitza Kameh de Shmuel. He told Shmuel this Rav's halacha. Omar Achsuhu Sari Le'alozer. We give him, you should feed him only barley. Okay, in other words, don't feed him correctly, because Ad Shekoifanai Sari Lahaitzi Yachufuhu Lozun. You should, in other words, why are you telling him that, oh, if he promises, he says, I'm not going to feed my wife, we make them get divorced? And instead of taking the approach that they have to get divorced, that's just an excuse to get out of the marriage, force him to do what he's supposed to do. I mean, he does have an obligation to support his wife. So why is your go-to response to that, oh, I guess the marriage is over? No. Your go-to response is, give the guy a whack over the head and say, do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to support your wife. Okay, so that was Shmuel's response. Rav, and Rav's response is, Ein Adam Dor Im Nochosh B'Kafifo. A person can't live with a snake in a basket. Meaning, you can't be tied into that. So you're right. Theoretically, he's totally wrong, and he should be forced to give the parnasa. But at the end of the day, if he's forced to do it, it's gonna become miserable, and it's gonna be a very difficult marriage, so don't bother. Fine. Kisalik Rav Zeira, when Rav Zeira came to Babel, Ashkeh the Rabbi Yomim by Yafis, he saw Rav Yomim Yafis, Yasuf Kamerlo, Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lei, Aldo Achsu Soirin La Lazar Babel. On this is, they used to force a Lazar, they used to feed him inappropriately. Meaning, we force feed them, and he said that the way, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, rather, not when he came to Babel, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he said, in Babel, their response is that we force the husband to feed the wife. Not like Shmuel, in other words, not like Rav that says we force the divorce, but rather like Shmuel that we force the husband to do what his obligation is to do, to feed her. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Asi, Ein Ma'ashin El L'Psoilus. This whole business that we force the divorce is only, according to Rav Asi, only if there's an issue of psoil, that there's something wrong with the yichus of this marriage. Okay, Kiyam Risa made the Shmuel. Again, when they repeated this to Shmuel, Omar Kagoin, Amon Lakoin, Godel, Begrusha, Bechalutu, Lakoin, Hedjoid, right? It's an inappropriate marriage where Kohen Godel is married to someone he's not allowed to marry, Kohen is married to a Grusha, right? Chalut to someone who's not allowed to marry. Mamzer has been a senior to Yisrael. You have a Mamzer situation, Bas Yisrael and Nosan and a Mamzer, or a regular girl with a Nosan and a Mamzer. Again, all these are marriages that halachically are not supposed to happen. That's why we force the divorce. Avol Nosa Isha V'Shoyimo Eser Shonim. But let's say you have a situation where you got married, regular, legitimate marriage, and they're married for 10 years, V'Lo Yoldo, and they never had any children. Ein Koyfin Isoy. That's not a reason to force the end of the marriage, so they won't have children. In other words, it's a Puru Revu issue. it's not a yichus issue, so then we don't force the marriage. However, v'rav tachliv v'aravimi yomar Shmuel, he says in the name of Shmuel, afilu nosa isha v'shoyimo asar shonim, even if he was married for 10 years v'lo yoldo, and they didn't have children, koifin oisoy, then you could force that, even that's enough of a reason to force a divorce. Okay, so basically, are we talking about Isura Daraisa, or even something where they, just a technical issue in the marriage that we force a divorce? Okay, so based on that, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, so our Mishnah says a whole list of examples of things that we force the husband to divorce. Mukashchin, Baal Polipois, right? And the Mishnah goes through all the various examples. Now these are examples of health issues. These are not health issues or professional issues. These are not yichus issues. So Bishlam of the Rav Asi. So now I understand why our Mishnah has to list them. Dirabbanan Ketani, Daraisa LeKetani. Our Mishnah is only listing those things that are midrash. The Chazal decided or figured that it isn't that they should. That it'd be appropriate for them to get divorced. We aren't listing the Daraisas. This Mishnah is completely and entirely Dirabbanan. El Rav Tachlifi Barabimi. But according to Rav Tachlifa's Gersa, where he says that we include the fact that they're not married for 10 years, listening, Nasa Isha Vashayima Asushanim, Vilayala Kaifanasai. If we're already listing the Rabbanans anywhere, where, so to speak, the Rabbanan get involved and say, here, we don't think that this is a good idea, and based on what we think is a good idea, so list this case also of being married for 10 years also. Chazal, this is where Chazal are getting involved, because it's not a Din Daraisa, it's Chazal's, you know, hashara of what should be done and what should not be done. So why isn't that listed in our Mishnah? So Amar Rav Nachman loy kasha haba mili haba shuti. So Zanachanami, the answer is that in our Mishnah we're talking about where we force with full force, with actual physical force. Bishuti means with a stick. Mili means where we just encourage it, where we talk about with words. So yeah, Nachanami, there are certain things where there's a certain type of forcing that we talk about that is only where it's a suggestion, it's an encouragement, where we'll push in that direction. And then there are certain things where we absolutely will do whatever we can to make sure that they end the marriage. And our Mishnah is talking about the time where you're taking a much more stronger approach. However, Maski Flora of Abba Bidvarim Loyosar Avid. He says with words you don't do anything. You don't force anybody to do anything. So he holds that there's no such thing as we're gonna just say it. We're gonna tell you what to do and expect that you're gonna do it. So that kind of tchilik is not a difference. Elo Omer Rav Abba Hoba Hoba Shuti. Okay, now so that was the end of the bottom of Omer Aleph. Obviously either way, if we're gonna force, that means including with a stick. So what's the difference between the two cases? Why don't we list the 10-year case in our Mishnah? Hasam ki amra havina bahade shavkinalo. The difference is that in the case of the 10-year case, where if she says, I want to stay married, we say, no problem. If you want to stay married, we're not going to get involved. If you're if you're happy with the situation, we're going to keep it this way. But in our Mishnah, Avagav to Omra Havina Bahadei, even if she says, right? Sorry, I said it backwards. But in the case of the Mishnah, if she says, I'm happy staying in this marriage, and I don't mind that he is a tanner or whatever it is, say, fine, no problem. If you're okay with your husband in that profession, we keep the marriage that way. But in the case of the 10 years, Afagav de Amra, Havina Bahadei, even if she says, I want to stay, Loy Shav Kinon Law, we don't let her stay. Okay? We would force them to get divorced. So, the Gemara then says, Vahare Mukashchin, what about the example in our Mishnah? Again, because our Mishnah was the case where we don't force them to separate. The case of the Mukashchin, the Apagav the Amr Havina Bahadei, over there, even if she says, I want to stay with him, Loshav Kinalo, we don't let them stay, the Tanan, because we learned, and we saw this on Amad Aleph also, Chutzmi Mukashchin, actually this is our Mishnah, Chutzmi Mukashchin, Mipnei Shemema Kasoi, because the longer they stay married, the worse his condition gets. So we see in our Mishnah, so theoretically, if that's one of the examples in our Mishnah, we clearly see over there that they have to get divorced. So it should be all the other, Uketani Hasam, Ki Amr Dairina Bahadei, Besadi, Shavkinan Law. Oh, but if she says, I want to stay in the marriage, but I'll have Edim. What are Edim? Meaning I'll have somebody live with us, but we'll stay married. Because the issue over there is, just so that you know, it's when they have relations that it creates the problem. So even if you don't trust me as a husband and wife that will behave, but if we have Edim, we have people watching us, so then Anachanami, you could trust us. So we do let them. Over there also we say no, even if she says I want to stay in the marriage, I want to be married, and like we learned a few blot ago, where a wife where she would rather be attached to a husband than to be by herself. If she says, "Don't worry, I'll stay with the guy," even so, we don't listen to him. So that is the conclusion. That in that case, that is the exception to the rule of our Mishnah. Very, very, very clearly, that my Mukashkin, we do not let them stay married, even if they want to. Okay, the Gemara then continues. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Sachli Zaken Echad. One man once told me, Manche Yerushalayim, and he taught that lived in Yerushalayim. Esrim Va'arba Mukay Shchin Hein. There are 24 different types and variations of a Mukay Shchin. V'kulon Amru Chachamim Tashmash Kashalahen, and all of them that the Chachamim say that this disease Tashmish is difficult for them, whatever the level of disease is. Ubale Rosan Koshamikulon. And the level of disease of Rosan is the worst. Okay? That Tashmish is the worst, has the worst impact. Vimayhave. Now what happens? How do you get this disease? How would one contract this disease? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hekes dam. So they used to have this practice in the old days where they used to get blood let. They used to take blood out because they felt that regenerating one's blood was new blood was healthier. So they used to do this all the time. But the problem was it made a person very weak. So hekes dam, somebody who does hakazus dam, he does bloodletting, v'shimish, and then has tashmish, havelei bonim v'sikin. He has children that are, that are unhealthy, that are not strong. Hekes shneim, that's talking about where the husband did the hakazas dam. But what if both of them, both the husband and the wife, the shimshu, and then they had relations, havelei bonim bale rason. Then they have children that are bale rason that are not going to be able to, that are going to literally fall apart. Okay, so that is the worst. That's how one would contract that type of disease. Now this business of having hakazus dam and then tashmish is only a problem if they didn't eat anything. In other words, don't think to yourself that in those days it was very common that they used to bloodlet. So don't think, so what are you supposed to do? How long do you have to wait? What should you do? So the answer is that's only talking about the loin ta'amidi, that you didn't eat anything in between. Avo ta'amidi, once you eat less than bothan, you don't have a problem. My simnei, what is the cure? How do we know that a person has this disease? So Dilfon Ene, his eyes are constantly tearing. He has tears coming out of his eyes. V'day v'nechire, and his nose is also leaking mucus. V'aisile riri mipume, and there is spit coming out of his mouth. V'romu didva alayhu, and flies are swarming or attracted him or swarming around him or sitting on his mouth or whatever it is. So it's obviously this guy's not in good condition to the extent that the flies are attracted to him. Okay, so this is the disease of Mukashkin of Ross. Umaya Suse, and what would be the cure for this disease? Amarabaya Pilo Veludno. You take the peel of a type of grass, and ludna is a
pennerel
and wormwood. Girdi de egoiza, and the bark of a walnut, of a nut tree. The girdu da ashpa, and the scrapings of a hide. So in other words, when you're cleaning a hide, you get pieces of the hide off. The kleo malka and lilies. U maschala de dikla sumka, and again the bark of a red tree. So you take all these lovely ingredients, the shalik lahu bahadi adadi, and you cook them together. Umailale levesa the shisha, and you put the person who has the disease in a marble house, because a marble house does not have any wind come through it. Marble will keep out any wind, so there's no draft whatsoever. The eloi ika besa the shisha, and if you don't have a marble house, mailele the besa the shav livni varicha, you should put him in a house that is, the walls of the house are thick, seven and a half bricks thick, which also will basically keep out the wind. The notole tlas mea kosi al reshe. Now remember, you cooked up this concoction, and you should take this boiled up concoction, and you should take 300 cups of this, al reshe, and pour it on the guy's head, ad derafya arise, until his skull becomes very weak, the skull on top of his brain, the kara lemuche, and then you open up his skull, umaisa arbo tarfi da asa, and then you bring 4 leaves of asa of myrtle, umadli kochad the kad kare, and you take, because apparently there's a bug that goes into the person's head that's making this person sick, so you take the leaves of the myrtle and you put it under the legs of the bug. Then you take one at a time and then you put them all together and you burn them. In other words, you burn the bug that was eating this guy's brain. The Eloi, because if you don't burn them, Hadar Aliyah, the bugs are going to go right back to where they came from. So you have to slowly, so it's also, the Gemara is saying, that you have to take the bugs one at a time, and you have to do it gently and slowly so that the bug crawls on the leaf, and not that you're pulling the bug off the brain, because if you pull the bug off the brain, Rashi says the bug will grab onto the brain and pull pieces of the brain off with it. So therefore you have to do it, it's a slow process. The slow process is to, you slowly let the bug crawl onto the leaf, and then you take it to a separate place and you burn them all there. Okay, that's the cure. Machriz Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Hizaru mizvuve shabale rason. You should be careful. Okay, so this is Rabbi Yochanan talking. You should be careful from the bugs that fly around the person who has this disease. Because as we said, one part of the disease is that these bugs, the flies, come gather around him. So you should stay away from him. Rav Zeiro lo yhava yosef bezike. Rav Zeiro was makbid that if there was a person with this disease, he wouldn't even sit in the downwind, further down from this person. Rav Elozer lo yhava yalba ole. He wouldn't go into the same tent. He wouldn't go into the same house. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi lo yhava ochli mibaye dahave muvo. And they wouldn't even eat from an egg that was hatched in the same courtyard. So they would keep, in other words, they understood the concept of a disease and that it can be transmitted, and they wouldn't go anywhere near any food or anything or any wind that this person was in. However, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Michrach Bohu, Rabbi Shua ben Levi would actually wrap himself with them, Va'osik b'Tayra, and he would learn Torah next to them. And he wasn't afraid because he felt that the Torah would protect him. Omar Ayelas Ohavim Bialas Chain. If I have the in the, their tent and I'll have Chain, Im Chain Malo Alum Deha Agune Loimigna. If there's a Chain, a Chain on the person, so won't it protect them? So therefore, he wasn't worried that if he was learning Torah, he wasn't worried that this disease would affect him. Kav Shochiv, when Rabbi Shimon ben Levi was eventually nifter, Amru le Malach Hamoves. He said to the Malach Hamoves, Zil Ovid le Ruuse, please do me a favor. Ozol is chazile, so the Malach Hamoves came and appeared to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Amalei achvi li duchte, show me my place in Gan Eden. Show me where I'm going to go. Amalei lechai. So the Malach Hamoves was masking to show him his place. Amalei havli sakinoch, give me your knife, your sword. Dilma mivasli beorche, because maybe you'll scare me. That's how the Malach Hamoves kills somebody. He scares the person to death, so to speak. So he says, give me your knife so that you don't scare me while we're going there. Yovin Ilay, the Malach Hamoves was maskim, and he gave Rabbi Shu ben Levi his knife, his sword. Himatul Hasam, when they got to the Gan Eden, Dailay, the Malach Hamoves lifted up Rabbi Shu ben Levi, become Machvilay, and he showed him his spot where he was going to sit in Gan Eden. Shavar, so Rabbi Shu ben Levi jumped. He jumped over the fence. Nafa Lahu Gisa, and he fell onto the other side. In other words, he fell into Gan Eden. Nakte Bakana the Gleam. The Malach Hamoves grabbed him on the edge of his shirt. Okay, so he was Malach Hamoves was trying to pull him back into this world. Amale Bishvuasa Dalayasina. So Rabbi Shuvan Levi said, I swear I'm not coming with you. There's no way I'm coming. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I itchol ashvuasa in a hader. If during Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi's lifetime he ever had a neder or a shvua that he took that he went to a chacham to undo, so then he has to undo this shvua also, and he has to go back. However, if he never had to undo, take back his word, so then he doesn't have to take back this word either, and he can stay in Adam Haba, and he can stay in Gan Eden. Amalei. Fine. So, and that's what happened. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi stayed in Gan Eden. Amalei. So now the Malach Mava said to him, Havli Sakinoi, at least give me back my sword. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi didn't want to give it to him. Nafka Baskol. So a Baskol came out va'amrolei, and it said, Hav Nihilei, give him his sword, Dimitvoa Libriyasok, so that he could scare the people. In other words, that the Malach Mava needed that sword in order to carry out what he needed to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have to give him back the score. Okay, Machris Eliyahu Kamei. So Eliyahu Anavi was announcing in front of Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Pnu Makom Lebar Levoi, make room for this person who is escorted to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden. Okay, very nice. Ozel Ashkechei L'Rab Shimon ben Yechoi, the Havi Yosef, he found Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the Havi Yosef al plas eser tachtite pizo, that was sitting on 13 pillows of gold. Okay, he found Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who was sitting in a special place. Amale at hu bar levoi. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, oh, you're this guy that bar levoi that's being brought into Oil Gan Eden. Amale hein. He said, yes, I'm that person. Nirosa Keshes B'Yamecha. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, did you see a rainbow during your lifetime? Which of course we know, Shimon ben Yochai, the Gemara tells us that during his lifetime there was no rainbow, because there was never, he was in his chus, there was never, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never had an issue, because we know the issue with the rainbow is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is sending us a sign that we deserve to be destroyed, like Noach, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise not to destroy the world. So he was asking him, was the world in such a matziv that you ever saw a rainbow? Amrlei hein, yes, I saw a rainbow. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's response to that was, im kein iyata bar levoi, then you're, if so, you're not somebody who deserves to be considered introduced into Gan Eden. Okay, that was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's response. However, the Gemara tells us Velohi, it's not true, meaning it never, there was, even in the times of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, there was never a rainbow. It never happened that there was a rainbow. But he felt that it wasn't, he shouldn't make it that as if it was his chus. He didn't want to, so to speak, be a balgaiva and say that, you know, in my chus there was never a rainbow because I'm such a great guy. So he said, yeah, there was a rainbow. But Lamaisa, in reality that he wasn't, there was no rainbow, and Itaka was holding on that level. The Gemara now continues further with the stories. Rav Chanina bar Papa Shoshvino Have. So Rav Shuman, he was a Shoshvino. He also was friendly with the Malach HaMavis. So Kihave Necha Nafshe, when he was about to die, Amrle the Malach HaMavis, he said to the Malach HaMavis, Zil Avid Le Rusa, please do me a favor. Ozel Gabe. So the Malach HaMavis went in, Vizchazile, and appeared to, this is talking about Rav Chanina bar Papa, Omar le Shavki Tlosin Yoimo, give me 30 days, Adin Ahadu Talmudoi, that I should have a chance to repeat, review all my learning. Da Amri, because they say, Ashrei mi Shabo Lekan, the Talmud Abiyodi, that it's very praised as a person that can come to Olam Haba, and he has all his, you know, he has all his learning with him. Shavki, so the Malach HaMavis left him and gave him the 30 days. The boss of Tlosin Yoima, after 30 days, Ozol is Chazalei, the Malach HaMavis came back. Amalei Achvi Li Duchtoi. So he said, show me my, again, he also said the same thing. Show me my place in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden. Amalei Lechai. So he says, no problem, I'll show it to you. Amalei Havli Sakinoch, Dilma Mavis Liba Orche. Give me your sword, because maybe you'll scare me while we're on the way, and, I won't make it there. Amalei Kichavrech, Bois Lamevili. Oh, you're trying to do the same trick that your friend, Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, tried to do. Amalei Aisi Sefer Torah. Bring me a Sefer Torah. V'chazi, and you'll see. Miyakamidi Dekosu Be Deloi Kayamte. Is there anything in the Torah that I did not fulfill? Amalei Mi arkavta bebale rosin. Okay, so this is the tie back to our Gemara. Did you sit with people who had the disease of rosin viastaka b'tayra and the Isaac and Torah? Remember, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, that's how we got into this. Rabbi Shua ben Levi wasn't worried about the disease, that he used to go and he used to sit among these people and learn Torah. So did you do that? Okay? So basically,
which allowed him to go into
Gan Eden alive. Whereas you, Rav Chanina bar Papa, you did not do this unbelievable thing, and therefore you don't have the right to jump into Olam Haba. But the Gemara does tell us, even so, that even though he wasn't on that madrega, kinach nafshe, when he died, when Chanina bar Papa died, afsikalei amuda denura ben didei la'almo, that there was a pillar of fire between his bed and the rest of the people. The Gemiri, and we already know, that this special flame, only happens once in a generation, or possibly two. Okay, in other words, he was a very, very special person. Don't think that because the Malach HaMavis wasn't willing to deal with him that, you know, he wasn't a good guy. He was a very special person. Okay. Karev Lagabei, Rabbi Alexandri. So Rabbi Alexandri came to the bed because he had to take care of the mace. Omar Asei Bishvil Kvoid Chachamim. Open up, let me get close for the sake of the Chachamim. Lo Yashkech. The fire did not listen. Also Bishvil Kvoid Avicha. Let me get close for the sake of your father. Lo Yashkech. The fire didn't move away. Also Bishvil Kvoid Atzmecha. But let's do it for your honor because somebody has to be Isaac in the mace. Let me take care of you, Istalik, and then finally the fire went away, so that they were able to take care of him. Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, "La'afuke meman deloy kayim afilu ois achas," as opposed to somebody who did not even fulfill one letter, right? That didn't even fulfill one letter of the Torah. So he was able to. In other words, this means he was that.
Separate the righteousness from the deceased from the other.
The point of the fire was to separate him from people that did not learn any Torah whatsoever. But if there were people who learned Torah, they were able to get close to him. He says, no, the reason why there was a fire over there was to keep you away, because you do not have a fence on your roof. In other words, you're doing Averis. So you're certainly not somebody who's able to approach Chanina bar Papa. However, the Gemara says, Veloyi, it's not true. Mia Have, of course he had a fence on his roof. He shaited. It happened to be that moment in time who the Shadya Zika, a wind came and knocked it down, so he didn't have a fence anymore. So that's why he wasn't able to approach Chanina bar Papa. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Vipnei Ma Ein Kol Bale, Ain Bale Rawson Bibobel. How come this disease, we don't see this disease in Bobel so much? For the Bale Rawson. The Gemara answers, Mipnesha Uichlin Tradin, because they eat beets, Vishoisin Shecher Shal Hizmi, and they drink beer made out of these Hizmi leaves. Okay? So in other words, this disease will keep those bugs away, so they won't get this level of Mukashim. How come we don't see Tsaras in Bavel? And the answer is the same. That they eat beets and they drink beer. And they wash themselves in May Pras. And so therefore, that gives them the health to keep the disease of Tsaras away. Okay, Hajan Aloch Hamadaris Ishtoi. That takes us to the end of the seventh parak. Mirtz Hashem, we'll stop over here. Mirtz Hashem, we'll start with the next parak.